Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to the We Write Songs podcast. We have a special treat for you today with Christian Mayfield. He's going to be talking to us about his music genre, which is a little more rock and roll, a little more metal. We're also going to talk about writing good lyrics and streaming services. So if any of those topics interest you today, stay tuned and keep listening throughout the show. But let's everyone give a warm welcome to Christian Mayfield. Say hello.
Hey, everyone.
Welcome to the show, Christian.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I work primarily as the front man of a rock group called Acacia Ridge. However, on the side, I also do a lot of studio work, writing and recording guitar for a lot of musicians and bands here in Salt Lake City.
Cool. So do you a lot of stuff for other bands, you said?
Yeah, a good amount. Every now and then I get brought on just to write a little bit of guitar for groups that maybe don't have a guitarist or aren't as experienced in writing guitar.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, what got you into music in the early years?
My parents were both musicians, so that was something that they naturally wanted me to do. I think I started with like piano lessons when I was 5 or 6. And then it was, I think Guitar Hero 3 that came out when I was pretty young that made me want to, that made me want to play guitar. I think it was the guitar battle with Slash, I think.
Is that the one that had Dragon Force on it?
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that one I decided, you know, piano is not for me and I want to be able to do all that stuff.
Yeah. You want to be up there with Slash, man.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So do you primarily play guitar now?
Yeah, I'm first and foremost a guitarist. That's the instrument I use to write everything I do. And, but you know, I will dabble. I'll do some piano here and there and some other stuff, but yeah, guitar is definitely my primary.
Cool. And do you lead vocals for your band?
I do. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Awesome. Well, that's exciting. As we mentioned before, you're our first, rock and roll guest on the show.
Oh, I'm honored. So, I'm honored to be the first.
Had to make sure that we say that on the show.
Right.
So how many people do you have in your band right now?
So including myself, there's 5 of us. It's myself on vocals. Our 2 guitarists are named Flip Too Good and Alex Schillingford, but we call him Half Stack. Then we have Anson Clark on the violin and bass. And Brendan Gottfriedson's our drummer.
Cool. I have a question on the songwriting side of your band. Do you guys collectively write songs for your band, or is it kind of each of you bring something to the table and then just jam it? What do you guys do?
Towards the end, it's definitely a more collaborative process, but all of our songs start out with one member bringing a song that's like 60-70% of the way done, and then that's when we all hop on.
Okay.
We've just kind of seen, like, in the past, it's been kind of hectic with that many people trying to write at the same time. So one person tries to do, you know, get the ball rolling, get a lot of the work done, and then we open it up to the rest of the band.
Okay.
I like that. So when you're personally writing a song, do you come up with music or lyrics first?
I have a really hard time doing lyrics if I don't first have music that I can imagine a melody to. So, yeah, melody and the lyrics tend to come at about the same time, but I have a really hard time doing those without, at the very least, like a chord progression first.
Nice. And then just kind of rap the lyrics. You probably try, do you try and have like a feel for the song too? And then just kind of write lyrics towards that?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's I come up with a guitar riff and then I have a certain message that I want to say. And then those two kind of get hooked together. Or sometimes we'll start out a song with a specific message in mind and then that'll kind of go hand in hand. But yeah, they're absolutely, they influence each other, what the lyrics are going to say and how the guitar goes. Absolutely.
Okay. Very interesting.
I'm kind of the opposite. I usually come up with words first and then find a tune for it from there.
Poetry.
Yeah. I'm a poet. Just kidding.
Yeah, I think it's different for a lot of people. I'm kind of like a mixed. We've talked about this on the show before, but I'll occasionally come up with a musical concept and then add lyrics, and sometimes it's lyrics first and then I throw music on. Although I found the quality of my songs, if I start with lyrics first, they don't seem as good to me.
Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe that's my problem.
I feel like it needs to have that musical element first. I like having, a riff.
Yeah, and to me, that's part of like writing lyrics is making it fit the song. You know, finding the right amount of syllables and stuff. And I feel like that kind of disappears if you start with the lyrics. But that's just how I approach it.
Mm-hmm. What do you find yourself writing about most of the time?
Commentary a lot, like just politically or socially. A lot of artists, you know, draw inspiration from their past, and I'm, you know, no different, you know, experiences I've had or people I've met. But recently it's been a lot of like socio-political commentary on just what's going on around me and my thoughts on it.
About that too, what are your opinions on, artists, musical artists using their music as a platform to be like an activist in social, political topics?
I think it's a great idea. It's, you know, a way to keep your message around. I don't see a lot of people going, you know, back and listening to political speeches multiple times a week, but people will do that for songs, even, you know, it can have the exact same message. So I see, you know, songwriting and using that as a platform to make commentary as a way to keep your message around longer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hey, look at the Beatles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a great example.
Do you feel like that's something that you kind of have to be consistent with, or is that something that you can kind of ignore for a while and, you know, establish a fan base and then kind of start getting into the political debates? Right. Does that make sense?
You could look at it, you know, really either way, as... You know, you do risk alienating some people that potentially might be into your music if you're a little too politically charged. At the same time, using your music to make commentary like that is a great way to show that your lyrics and your songs actually have a message and have depth. So, you know, you could look at it either way as you might lose some people because of your message, but you also might gain more attention because it has a message.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that another thing to think about with being an activist and you know, writing political lyrics and things like that, I think the more subtle and the more metaphorical that you are, the less of an impact, a negative impact that will have on your career.
Yeah, sure.
Just because I feel like if you're too... like in the face about a certain issue, that's when you're going to, you know, turn some people away.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's kind of the beauty of putting commentary like that into lyrics is you can mask a little bit of what you're trying to say. You don't have to be as blunt as if you're, you know, in front of Congress, you know, giving a speech.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Very true.
With a guitar.
Yeah,
although
guitar,
the more
exactly.
specific you get, I feel like the more specific of an audience you can have. Yeah. And I feel like your fans will be more super fans that like really understand you rather than just something that happens to come on the radio. So, yeah, I think it's good like having specific messages with your music and what you are conveying. But, yeah, kind of keeping it metaphorical still at the same time as well.
Certainly, yeah.
I like when lyrics are, you know, spreading something that, whether it's politics or lifestyle or whatever, I really like when people write about things that they're passionate about, because to me that's how songwriting is going to have an impact on the world and change the world and you just kind of got to do it one step at a time, one song at a time, I should
Certainly.
Say.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's something I'm kind of struggling with because I feel like I'm passionate about everything, so I have a hard time like focusing. Do you know what I'm saying, honey? Because I've been like kind of in a drought of songwriting, and maybe it's because I need to figure out what I'm super duper passionate about.
Well, let's see what Christian has to say about that. Maybe he has the solution to your problems.
There we go.
I mean, that's, yeah, that's kind of the, it's fun because you can write more than one song. It is definitely a struggle sometimes to stay focused on what exactly you want to say on a particular piece of music, because some people have so much they want to say on so many different topics. Yeah, that's totally a struggle, is keeping in mind you can't say everything in one piece of music, and that's why people don't just write one song in their lifetime.
Yeah. Can you take us through like a just like a quick summary demo of what you do when you're writing your lyrics?
Yeah, it's, I think it typically starts with what exactly I want to talk about. For example, let's use Project 7, which is a song off my band Acacia Ridge's first album. That song started out, we had the guitar put together. I hadn't even started on vocals yet. And actually our lead guitarist Flip came to me and said he wanted to write a song, you know, about people that are too quick to judge without realizing that they themselves are not perfect. So I kind of start with that idea of, okay, what's the overall message? What do I want to talk about in this? And then from there, I tend to piece it together based on like, okay, the chorus is typically the main part of the song. So this is where I'm going to put the message like as plainly as possible. The points that I really, really want to drive home. And then the verse, I try to fill in with the details, like why that kind of behavior is toxic and why, you know, you shouldn't be doing that, or the effect it has on other people. So I try to use the song parts, the verse, the chorus, the bridge, just as ways to support the main idea that's in the chorus.
Okay. So it's kind of based around a topic, and then you kind of form around that and put the, I guess, the climax or the strong point, the peak of the song.
In the kind chorus.
Of emphasizing that.
Yeah.
In the chorus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yeah. I kind of try to like make it a pyramid almost, where everything's leading up to the main idea of the song.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Kind of like that.
Yeah. That's very interesting. There's, when you're writing lyrics, I feel like it's, you can take off on some wild tangents. That's a problem I have personally. So that's a really that's really good advice. I think a lot of people fall into that problem. Like what you were talking about earlier, like you can't talk about everything you want to in one song. Like
exactly.
You gotta just like throw away a few pieces for later songs. And that's cool. I like the pyramid idea.
Yeah, the pyramid idea, right.
The pyramid scheme.
The pyramid scheme of songwriting. That's what we're doing here.
So how many songs have you written now?
That's a big number.
Okay, how about how many albums do you have public?
So I've put out one album with my band. I have been featured as a guitarist on, I want to say two other albums, and then a handful of like EPs that I'm really only including because I did some work on, even though I wouldn't consider myself like a featured artist on that. Mm-hmm.
Where,
so song number, I don't know, 50 maybe, somewhere around there.
Cool. Nice. That's great.
When you release your albums, where do you like to release them?
Spotify is the one that has been by far the most kind. They have this incredible feature where they'll give you your release radar, which just shows you like new songs that you might like. So that's where we have gotten the majority of our streams is from Spotify recommending our music to people. So Spotify is definitely our favorite at the moment.
Okay.
I love that feature for me as a listener. I feel like I found some of my new favorite bands from Spotify recommending them in that, yeah, in that weekly on the radar or whatever it's
called.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I'm always impressed by their algorithm, because it seems like, you know, their picks for stuff you might like is usually really accurate. I'm usually pretty happy with everything they recommend to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless I like start listening to something weird for some unrelated reason, yeah, right. Then it starts recommending other weird stuff to me. And it's like, no, I actually do not want to listen to this karaoke track of God Bless the USA. I'll pass on that.
Yeah, right.
I've had some unique experiences with that too. Like, I've noticed if you stick with like mainstream music, there's like a loop of like mainstream suggestions. It's like, oh, you like,
yeah,
this,
but then
song,
if you so get
like
out
this
of it.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying is like, once you get out of the mainstream, I don't want to say garbage, but that's the only word in my head, but
okay.
the mainstream of, you know, pop music or whatever, country sure. music. Once you kind of start digging in a little deeper and finding new artists and like local artists and things like that, that are on Spotify, there's like a huge, huge number of and variety of artists that I'd never heard of that I really, really like now. And it's really? All because of thanks to Spotify.
Yeah. And that, thanks that's to We Write certainly Songs how podcast. We feel as a smaller band is people are, you know, discovering us because Spotify is recommending smaller artists to people.
Yeah. And that's a really, really good thing, especially, you know, as a streaming platform that gets a lot more people, I think, listening to or using them as their streaming service.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a really good feature. What else have you found as far as other platforms go?
As far as other platforms, you know, YouTube definitely has its benefits. If you, depending on what service you use to get your music out there, like we specifically use DistroKid, you can get your songs onto YouTube. And that's certainly nice if you have something visually that is going along with your music. However, my only downside with that is that YouTube's algorithm tends to favor more well-established not only musicians, but just channels in general. So it can be kind of hard to you know, get your music out there on YouTube. We've seen people do really, really well on SoundCloud, but that's not something that personally we've dipped into much. So I don't really have a lot to say about that.
I've heard a lot of different things about SoundCloud. It's kind of, I find it, the most things that I've heard about it is that it kind of, is more friendly towards electronic and remixes.
Right, yeah.
And like collaborations.
Mm-hmm.
That might, I don't know if I explained that correct, but
shout out to all of our SoundCloud listeners though, because we get the most listeners for this podcast on SoundCloud.
Oh, no kidding. Right? Cool.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
that's where our host is, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't really Sorry. Even want to comment on it, because I feel like part of the reason Spotify's been so good to us is because we actually put in the time and the work to figuring out like the best way to do a Spotify release, and we haven't put in that time for SoundCloud. So my opinions on that are kind of biased in that, you know, I don't feel that it's as good for us because really we haven't tried to make it good for us. So
yeah. And you've done the research with Spotify, and
right?
Found it to be beneficial. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys release on iTunes and all that as well?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So DistroKid, I mentioned earlier, is the service that we send all of our music to, and then they do the paperwork on getting it onto Spotify and iTunes and Amazon and Google Play and all that. So yeah, you can find us just about everywhere.
It's DistroKid.
DistroKid. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I haven't heard of that one.
I think I have, but I, yeah, but it was.
I would highly recommend it. It's fairly cheap considering what the service is, and they put your music on more websites than I think I've even heard of. So it's a good service.
That's good. And that's a big part of creating your fan base nowadays is streaming.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Speaking of streaming, do you sell any retail music?
Retail music
like
as
CDs?
In...
Sorry. Do you sell any CDs or records, like
yeah,
hard
actually,
copies?
We're getting our website up and running right now. We've just been doing some final touches. So in the near future, you'll be able to go to, I think it's acaciaridgeband.com, and we will have a merch store up where we're selling hard copy CDs and t-shirts and everything like that.
Cool. Do you find, do you get like stats, like demographic wise from DistroKid? Do they tell you like where your listens or like where your streams are mostly happening?
I believe they do a little bit. The better stats that you're going to want to look at is the ones that come directly from the service. So like Spotify has their app, Spotify for Artists, where you can look into where your streams are coming from and how many you're getting each week. And I actually, they just updated, you can actually see how many people are listening like in real time. So yeah, mm-hmm. DistroKid does have some demographics that they'll show you, but as far as we've been able to tell, the more accurate source of information is directly from the streaming service.
From the app that...
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, because they're keeping their own stats. DistroKid probably doesn't have access to that kind of stuff.
Right, yeah.
So where are your listeners mainly focused right now? I'm curious to know.
Right now, when our album first came out, there was a huge bump of, you know, all over the country. Right now, I think we're primarily, our fan base is out of Salt Lake City, Utah area. Right after we released the album, though, there was a lot of people in like Chicago and California. We had a lot down there. And weirdly enough, I think it was London, England, for some reason. I don't know how we made it all the way over there, but there was a lot of people listening over there.
Nice.
Cool.
Do you base your shows? Like, do you go on tour at all? And then when you do, if you do, do you target those demographics according to what, you know, what your streaming stats are?
Yeah, we definitely will in the future. Just from past experiences, because a good number of us have been on tour with other projects before. We don't think that at this point going on tour is, you know, the best idea. We are planning this summer to do a handful of like weekend tours, where we'll play a show here in Utah Friday night and then go to Colorado Saturday night and then somewhere else Sunday night and then drive home. But yeah, once we start doing, you know, like coast tours or maybe a US tour, hopefully in the future, that is absolutely something we'll have in mind is, you know, what cities do we have a lot of listeners in?
Yeah. That's really helpful that they have that available that you can go on to Spotify for Artists.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would see the most use from that is being able to base, you know, speaking of Utah, like if most of your listens are in, or your streams, I guess, are in Salt Lake City, and then you have like five in Provo, it's like you're most likely going to go do your show in Salt Lake, and the people from Provo can drive, you know, 40 minutes north.
Yeah, right.
See
Yeah, I would imagine that, you know, bigger artists use that feature too. I'm sure that, you know, every time, you know, John Mayer goes on tour, I'm sure his demographics like that have a huge part to play in what cities he goes to.
Yeah, and especially the ones that go and do like the European tours. Like,
oh, absolutely.
There's
got
to be, yeah, there's got to be some big.
Yeah, you don't want to end up in the middle of nowhere in England.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
With no purpose.
Right.
And no people to play for.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. I'm eager to learn more about streaming and all that. That's something that I'm very oblivious to, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of you have to be careful when looking into that. It can totally be a black hole of just information. You know, reading about how the algorithm works and like, I mean, you can find articles online of like when you should be releasing your song to the minute for, like the most effective release. So you have to be careful and realize like people take this really seriously, and a lot of what they're saying about the algorithms and stuff is just noise that really isn't going to affect your release that much. But it takes a little bit of experimenting to figure out what actually works and what's going to be best for your release.
Yeah, and you have to really like take it down to your individual band, like
or
you as an individual, like what works best for me, not what works best for the majority of people that they're talking about in this article or whatever.
Right.
Whatever it is that you're researching. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And cool. Done is better than perfect. So, you know, just get some music out there. And, you know, then the next time you have an album release, maybe you do things a little differently and you have an album release party and you have marketing leading up to it. But I feel like it's better to just get yourself out there first rather than focusing on all the little details that might help you a little bit. But I feel like it's just like you were saying, it's better to just get it done.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Christian, this has been a really, really interesting conversation.
Yeah,
thank you again for being on the show.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, do you have any advice for songwriters out there?
Stick with it. Practice is what makes perfect. Not everything you write is going to be a masterpiece, but the more you try, the more songs you write, then the closer you get to writing something that's something people are going to listen to for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Christian.
Yeah, thank you.
And where can the listeners go to find your band's music?
Anywhere you look, we're called Acacia Ridge. That's ACACIARIDGE. Like I said earlier, Spotify is the one that's been particularly kind to us, so we really appreciate it if people check us out there. But you can find us on Instagram, all the social media networks, everything like that.
Awesome, cool. Christian. Well, thank you. And we'll be posting a little bit of your music here for the listeners to hear a little sample of as well. So we hope you guys all enjoy. Yeah. And we'll catch you next time on the We Write Songs podcast.